up. Team Rocket on ATL introducing. That is Rory Powers and Kit Greer. They just make really good dance music. It's so much fun. I love it.
This is Across the Line. The Line.
Hello, welcome to ATL introducing. It's Gemma with you. I hope you're good. You're listening on BBC Radio Ulster and BBC Sounds. We are live tonight, so I would absolutely love it if you got in touch. You can send me a text on 81771 or get us on Instagram at BBC Across the Line is where to go. Got lots coming up on the show tonight. Ben McGee is with us this week with three world exclusives. That's three tracks that have never before been played on the radio.
Loving on my way, not trying to make a mess.
If you're an artist or a band and you're making some really cool sounds, we want to hear them. Upload your music to the BBC Introducing Uploader. That is bbc.co.uk/introducing.
In session for ATL Introducing.
We have the fantastic Susie Blue in session this week. Lauren Johnson is also going to be looking at gender balance.
The thing that surprises me the most is they've had a year. They've had a year to kind of address this. This is an ongoing problem.
And we also have our best song in the world.
The best song in the world.
So came up and shook my hand, and young Ivan and holy knowledge supervised the finding of a fix.
I'm a little bit excited about this week's best song in the world, as always. But before we get into that, let's take a brand new one from Belfast Dark Tropics. This is Keep Searching.
Keep searching for me, 'cause my eyes are so
me, it's breaking me, yeah.
The best song in the world.
That was your best song in the world by Manjola and Abby Koulibaly, Where Ya At? I was in love with that one. They're both based in Dublin and really gave me Mahalia vibes. You can find them online at Manjola and Abby Koulibaly, and Koulibaly is spelled Koulibaly. It's Gemma here. You're locked into ATL introducing on Radio Ulster and BBC Sounds. Still got lots to come for you tonight. If you've been enjoying the show so far, check us out online. Instagram at BBC Across the Line is where to go. Tag us in your stories. We've got three world exclusives with Emma Wallace. That's three songs that have never before been played on the radio. And we have three absolute bangers this week. We also have the fantastic Modern Love in Session. Let's keep the music going. This is a brand new one from Ferrells. That is Zafo WB on ATL introducing.
Across the line.
It's Gemma here. You're listening on BBC Sounds to ATL introducing. Now, over the years, there's been such a growth of Irish hip hop. You've seen the rise of artists like Maverick Sabre, Denise Chyla, Kojak. But did you know that there is a drill scene happening in Drogheda right now? But what is drill? Dylan Murphy takes us on a journey on how drill music got from Chicago to Ireland.
If you've been paying attention in the past year, you're probably familiar with the late New York drill artist Pop Smoke.
Baby, welcome to the party. Bitch, I'm a thug. Get me lit. Get me lit. One and a half. Set in the clip. Baby. Baby, don't trip. Just lower your tone. Cause you can get hit. Don't let that hit my system.
So we're here to chat about women in the music industry and kind of what's happening in the music industry at the moment. I guess I'm just going to start things off with, what is it like being a woman in the music industry?
I've been working in the industry now for 3.5 years or so, and I think kind of being based in Northern Ireland anyway, we're quite lucky in the sense that it's very small industry here, and I find that it is very welcoming and, you know, people are very supportive here. But I know whenever, you know, you start to kind of look beyond Northern Ireland in a sense and start to look, you know, kind of internationally, there is a very big divide, especially kind of in the industry side of things. And I think it's sort of kind of about trying to reverse that sort of mentality that we've sort of ingrained in ourselves in a way, you know, to kind of give women from the offset to say, no, you do have the confidence to do this and you have the utmost ability to do it.
What about you, Lindsay? You know, you're fronting a band and you're also a mother too. What's it like for you being a woman in the music industry?
On the day-to-day grind on the scene, I haven't come, like recently, I haven't come across anything that's been, you know, too.
Came to the 06061, you came to the 061. We'll show you how to get things done.
Denise Chyla, 061, not holding back on this one. Everybody knows I'm a massive fan of what she does, and this definitely doesn't disappoint.
The best song
in the world.
Introducing.
That was Cami Kids and Empress. I mean, how fantastic is the pulsating synth in this? I mean, there's something dreamy about it and almost shiny sounds at times. It's the only way I could describe that. Anya, what did you think of this track?
Oh my god, Gemma, you always read my mind sometimes with some of my notes I have written down for some of these tracks. So I'd never heard of Cami Kids before, and when I looked them up, I could see that they'd actually been releasing music from 2011, and I think that electro pop sound that was like really big then is still really apparent in the music that they're making now. And I don't know about you, but it really made me like think of like Skins and like, you know, those neon bright neon sunglasses people used to wear.
Yes.
Like the type of music that was out around then, you know, that big electropop sound kind of reminded me of like LaRue or somebody. And it's one of those tracks that you could both easily chill to, but also get up and have a bit of a dance, bit of a rave to, with that like cool arpeggio.
That was St. Bishop Dreaming. Roisin, I know that this was your pick. Why did you pick this track?
I just really love this. This is beautiful, soulful electro pop. I just really like the vocals. I think he kind of plays with them a lot to really convey how he's feeling. It's like he's talking to himself and then talking to you all at the same time. And I like that pulsing kind of drum beat in the background that just keeps you going. It's very, very catchy. I'm useless at lyrics, but I've listened to the song quite a lot and I think that I know this song now. So I'm like, yes.
Well, I can't wait to hear you recite it right now on air.
His image is also super cool. His style is cool. I really like the video to this song.
So it's like a dance machine. It's nearly like imagining someone on a dance machine, but in a music video. There's loads of colours. It's bright.
What is a dance machine?
How do you not know what a dance machine is? You know when you have the arrows and you put your first foot forward?
Like, yeah, like that's not like a just that's not a dance machine. A dance machine would...
Sorry, a dance mat.
Yes, a dance mat. A dance machine would do the dancing for you.
I was good at the old dance mat.
Thank you, first of all, for those kind words, but I feel like 2020 was a very frustrating year for me. I feel like I've adapted now and I'm able to like really still get creative. But... yeah, 2020 was just a very frustrating year.
I think that's really understandable. You know, with everything that did go on, I think you did really, really great things. So I guess for 2021, we're in a new year. What are you most excited about or looking forward to most in this year?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to growing and putting out things of a higher production value, like whether it's the music or the visuals, whatever we do. And even the promotional side of things now, I went away and I really taught myself the business side. So I'm looking forward to really implementing that. This new project that I'm about to do or about to release sometime in the middle of the year, that's another thing I'm looking forward to. Will be a lot better because I've went away and like looked at my weaknesses, something like okay singing, so I went away.
I think that's really refreshing though. That's a great thing about groups as well. You get the three different kind of ideas and creative flow as well. But I think we should hear some music. The first track we're going to hear from you guys is called F That. Can you tell me a bit about this song?
No, because I don't want to swear, so
you guys go ahead.
Just censoring yourself there. Fair enough. I'm not gonna lie, this has been on repeat a lot for me on my playlist. It's such a bop, right? Let's take a listen. This is Just Wondering in session for ATL Introducing with F That.
Ah, man, jeez, I need to get to sleep. Mine's running on reserves right now. Reserves, baby. It's all right. The weather's nice. I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna have to stay awake because that song is banging. You know what I'm saying? How could you go to sleep when the sun's out and don't?
I sprints with Manifesto. I am such a big fan of these guys. I think they're so good. This was actually the first track I played on my other introducing show on Radio 1. They've just been named in Enemy's Top 100 and they're gonna be on to big things this year. Let's hear all about it.
ATL Introducing.
I am joined by Carla from Sprints. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I mean, I have been loving what you guys have been doing. I feel like even though there was a pandemic that happened, 2020 was like the year for Sprints. You know, you guys released a lot of music that really grabbed a lot of attention. You know, Radio 1, 6 Music, big playlists on Spotify as well. How has that reaction been for you?
It's been incredible and like really, really surreal. I think like it's bizarre to spend like years of your life working towards a goal, and like whether it's things like being on radio, being on BBC One, being on your show, and then it's like the equivalent of signing off an email signature. That's like, that's the commotion of it all. Like you have these pictures when you're a kid of like,
I spoke with music journalist and podcaster Nider9 on how exactly the music industry has been reacting to NFTs and why they have become so popular.
NFTs all seem to come up at the same time, maybe in February or so. I was starting to really hear about them as a thing, and especially related to music, because it was something that I'd heard. It's like the blockchain and cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, all these terms you've heard before, but I was like, that's the tech world. I'm not sure what's going on there. But now with the NFT stuff, I could start to see how things could actually be taken into the real world and used, and how musicians and artists could actually start to use it. You know, artists like Kings of Leon, suddenly, you know, they wouldn't be maybe considered, you know, like at the forefront of the tech world, but they were now suddenly selling NFTs. And I think when those kind of things started happening, people kind of went, what is all this about?
So we've heard that bands like Kings of Leon have jumped on the NFT craze as part of their most recent release. So does that mean that they sold one NFT version of their album When You See Yourself and that was it? Again, not exactly. As part of their album campaign, the US rock group decided to sell not one but two different types of NFTs. If you were one of the lucky fans who purchased the album within the 2-week period after it went on sale, you would have received a token that allowed you to be able to download the record, exclusive moving artwork, and have access to limited edition vinyl for a small amount of time only. The second set of NFTs were sold at auction to the 6 highest bidders, who now effectively have a lifetime ticket to the band's shows. The group have hailed NFTs as the way of the future for the music industry. But what about closer to home? Who are the musicians here who are starting to incorporate NFTs into their own releases? I spoke with Kilkenny and Dublin-based band O'Brien, who were one of the first Irish acts to release an NFT, about why they decided to get involved.
Yeah, so what we found was that NFTs are kind of more mainstream in other countries, and maybe Ireland is a little bit behind the curve when it comes to cryptocurrency in general. And obviously we're both from IT backgrounds. We have careers in IT and we have a keen interest in all new technology. And this is just a new technology that we happen to stumble across and become interested in. Our big bands that we're obviously very familiar with, like Kings of Leon, who are releasing music as NFTs. And we thought, okay, maybe if there's big artists doing this, it's not a scam, or it's actually something that has value. It's a valuable product, and we wanted to explore how to get into that space. So that's kind of where we started, and probably Steve took the initiative to kind of get that going in terms of how to create our own NFTs and what the process involved.
I pretty much just jumped on the bandwagon as soon as I really got a good grasp of what an NFT was and how it's transferable and how it's a collectible item, essentially, that, you know, the intrinsic value of it goes up over time. I pretty much straight away was onto Shane. I was like, we need to do this. We need to get our new single out as an NFT. I don't care how we do it. Across the line.
Okay, so there's no point in lying. A lot of this has sounded pretty grim, but we're going to try and end on something a bit more positive. Kira McMullen is a full-time videographer, photographer, director and producer. She's worked with the likes of The Bloody Beetroots, Hang, and So I Watch You From Afar, and so many others. Also, thank goodness, she actually is a homeowner. And I was beginning to think we weren't going to be able to find one, but she is, and this is how she managed to do it.
We did it a bit differently. We did a springboard mortgage through Barclays. A family member is your guarantor for it, so they put the money that would be the deposit into an account, and they actually get it back after 5 years with loads of interest. So they actually don't just pay your deposit for you, they get the money back with interest. I've just been very candid about this because it is hard. It is stupidly hard for people who have any kind of freelance job to buy a house, because saving for a deposit is just, it's easier to work out your money when you're earning the same amount every month. But like, whenever you're creative, you know, you could have an amazing month and then the next month earn nothing, and then you have to fall back on the money you made from the month before. So it's very, very hard to save. But yeah, and also when you're growing your business, for the first 2 years of being freelance, I basically earned nothing because I was buying equipment, and I'm still at that stage now where my equipment prices has went up. Thankfully, my income has went up too, but it still means that it's still hard for me to save. And again, money is still sporadic, and that it can be good 1 month and not the next. So it is difficult, and we did need help. You just have to do your research and save all of your money.
Like, they're with it, they know what they're at, they're working together, and I just really want to see them live.
I want to see them live too. I know we said this the last time we heard Sprints, ATL family night out. We're going to see Sprints when music is back. Rory,
I am there with bells on, with Sprints on, with drones on. I don't know. I am there.
Roisin will have her bells. Rory, what accessories are you bringing?
Well, I might bring a samba drum so that I can hear your skills, because I'm still not over this fact that you have all these hidden talents.
You can
talents.
Drive us in your fancy car.
My fancy car from the 1960s, yeah. What a picture we're painting.
If you're enjoying the tracks tonight, you can find the full track list on BBC Sounds. Just search ATL Introducing. It's still time to hear what you think. Keep in touch with me on Twitter. Use the hashtag ATL Introducing and tweet us at Across the Line. Or if texting's your thing, send me a little text on 81771. Up next is a brand new one from Jafaris. This is Haunted. Your best song in the world, Rwanda Shaw Matter. This is her debut single as a solo artist, and it's absolutely banging. I love it.
The best song in the world.
This is Across the Line. The line.
Welcome back to ATL Introducing. It's Gemma here. You're listening on BBC Radio Ulster and BBC Sounds. We are live tonight, so please do get in touch. Text me on 81771. Or get me on Instagram at BBC Across the Line. I've still got lots to come on the show tonight.
Anya Crona McCartney is going to be bringing us three world exclusives. And we have the fantastic Just Wondering in session. But let's keep the tracks coming. This is Ula with a remix of Cryin's Rodeo Queen.
Anywhere, just not here.
Belfast Gender Chores with Nights in the Woods. They're a punk band and they're currently on the Oh Yes Centre's Scratch My Progress programme. Just released an EP called Volume 9. It features Riley Holland, Viva Magnolia, Gilmore and Lemonade Shoelace. It's great. Go and check them out. Some really fantastic up-and-coming artists. It's Gemma here. You're listening to ATL Introducing.
In session for ATL Introducing.
I am joined by Rebecca Fitch. Thanks so much for coming in. Rebecca, how are you?
I'm so well, Gemma. Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm so excited to have you on. Thanks for being here. You've been doing bits this year, you know, you've been doing loads, and it's super exciting to hear all this new music that you've been putting out. But before we kind of discuss that, I want to know, how would you describe your sound for somebody who's maybe listening to you or hearing your music for the first time?
I tend to normally put it in the bracket of alternative pop. So it has that strong sense of melody in it, but it also has that experimental side to the production where I love pushing boundaries with creative sounds and creating new sonic worlds around what I'm doing. So it's not just straight up pop, but there's a bit of an edge to it as well, and I love having, you know, a bit of drama in there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we definitely hear that edge that you're talking about in your latest single, Game Over, that you've just released. I mean, it is a banger. I just love how it starts. You know, me.
Ah, thank you.
We were saying at the show, like, it does remind you of being in a video game, just the way it starts with those synths. And I suppose, speaking about video games, you made one for this. Tell me, how did that come about?
Yeah, well, so what I'm working on at the moment is these new tracks, and for each track I wanted to have a visual element to kind of bring out more of the song, so that would lead up to a visual EP. So for the first one, with Dust, we did the biggest production music video I've ever done. We had a full crew and cast and everything, so it was like a short film. And then for this one, I decided to do something a bit more interactive because we don't have that live engagement anymore with gigs and things that we've had before. And I think for this song, you know, it's called Game Over. The natural thing was to have a game with it. So for this one, my brother is wanting to go to uni to do computer science next year. So for any kind of technical difficulties that we have in our family, we just go straight to him and we're like, surely he'll know how to fix it. He's only 17, but he knows everything. So I kind of brought it to him and was like, I really want to make some kind of mobile game that people can play along to the song. And he was like, yeah, sounds cool. Like, yeah, I can totally do that. And I'm like, what? How on earth do you know how to do that? So we kind of worked together to create this alternate world where this kind of ninja character is navigating his way, trying to collect stars and avoid bombs, and just basically try and get as far through the game as possible before the song runs out and you reach game over. So it was building on the meaning of the song.
The game is great. I was actually playing it the other day. I thought I was deadly.
How did you do?
I got 252 and I was like, haha, I'm unreal. And then I looked at the leaderboard and I am in the 200s. I'm assuming you've had a play at it, so how have you been doing?
Well, yeah, but I actually suck. So I was like, you know, you'd think I'd be quite good at this game because I came up with it, but actually, no, I am really bad.
I mean, it's really competitive.
Yeah, I know. For people who haven't played the game, they're like, I don't understand what these points mean. That just means you should go and play it.
This is Rebecca Fitch in session on ATL Introducing with Game Over.
That was Sorbet, Only for the Young, featuring Arborist. If you want to keep up to date with them, you can online. At Hello, It's Chris Ryan is where to go. And at Arborist is where to go. And that is spelled A-R-B-O-R-I-S-T. It's Gemma here. You're locked into ATL Introducing. I hope you're having a good Monday. If you are an artist or a band, or you're just into music and you're making it, we want to hear it from you. Upload your music to the BBC Introducing Uploader at bbc.co.uk/introducing is where to go. And speaking about the uploader, it's time to hear some world exclusives. I caught up with Taylor Johnson the other day.
This is BBC Introducing Live.
JC, tell me this. What do other artists or writers offer you that you couldn't do on your own?
It's not something that you couldn't do by yourself. It's not looking for something for somebody. It's more the experience is amazing. Other people's opinions will affect your song negatively and positively. I love it though. When I get to work with, say, you mentioned Tom Waddell, who's someone I've looked up to for years, and we've started working together, and I've got this song that I'm like, I think this is pretty much done. And I play it to him and he's like, oh my goodness. I'm like, well, how did that make you feel? And he's like, well, da 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 da. The only bit I didn't understand was that bit. I'm like, well, what would you say there? And he's like, just say that. And I'm like, well, that's exactly it. And sometimes they say the most basic thing, but it's just getting like that outside perspective. And it doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your song or sacrifice what you want to do in it. It's honestly, it's a privilege and it's really lovely to work with other people. And it won't work most of the time, but when it does, it's class.
Yeah, I totally get you. I think it's good to have that other person there to maybe bounce off. And like you said, that kind of give you that outside perspective. Jessica, what are your thoughts on this?
I would say when I was younger and, you know, coming up through the ranks and sort of earning my stripes type of thing, you know, working with different lyricists. So there's a certain way to always structure songs, and especially in different genres and things like that. I think that was really, really valuable, learning that. And then working with obviously different producers who would maybe come up with different chord progressions. You know, there's always like another chord you can go to, or, you know, if you're sort of sometimes as a songwriter, you know, me, I just grew up playing, you know, on my guitar, and sometimes it was just coming up with those four chord songs and they were getting a bit boring and repetitive.
I've been there.
We've all been there. so, you know, sometimes it is just working with somebody who's maybe, you know, maybe learned a bit on piano, and there's different, you know, inversions and things like that on different instruments. So sometimes it can literally be from working with somebody who plays guitar or a jazz guitar, or working with someone like Matt, who's, you know, a piano player and has learned, like, you know, classical piano. Sometimes that can change things up and just improve your entire song, you know. So little things like that, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get what you mean. I think when you are working with other people and they're using different instruments, it can really take a song to the next level and make it sound completely different. Now, do you feel that you're freed up as an artist, or it's made you less precious about the music you make when you're collaborating? JC, what do you think?
If anything, it kind of makes me a little bit more precious about it. I just want it to be perfect. And especially when, like, we put ourselves the pressure of, like, right, this is coming out and this has to be done and this has to be good because it's happening. And if it's not good, it's still going to come out and then it's going to be rubbish. So, like, there was a lot of pressure on it. I don't actually know if it's any good or not, but I really like it. And yeah, there's a lot of pressure on it in a good way, just to get it done and get it finished. And we were both being really, like, pernickety about the whole thing. And, like, we were changing one words here. And we were just, like, really obsessing about drum sounds and all sorts of stuff. And yeah, I loved it. It's great.
I think definitely not less precious, because I... like, I'll never do anything unless it feels right, regardless of, like, who it's with or, like, whatever the opportunity, because I always think, how would this work in my, like, my set, like, if I was performing live? Like, if it just doesn't fit and it doesn't feel authentic to me, I won't do it. But I, and it's only recently, to be fair as well, because I definitely went through a period where I was, like, really stubborn. I was like, I will never do that, I will never. And I think as I've kind of grown up and the kind of times have changed, especially 2020, like, 100%, that definitely changed my mind on it. I just realized how amazing they can be and how much they can open you up to new things and different genres. And I think as long as you as an artist can, like, be your authentic self throughout all of the different music, different styles, whoever you collaborate with, then there isn't really an issue with it. It's when you kind of, like, just place your voice on something without it having your personality, I think, where I find it tricky. to kind of go ahead and like take the jump. But yeah, all of the collabs that I've done and like will do in the future kind of feel authentic to me, so yeah
definitely. I would say there's kind of the aspect of, you know, you should never be too precious about a song. I think if you're like too precious about something, then maybe you shouldn't be collaborating, maybe you just like to do things on your own. But you know, you definitely have to kind of have that creative mind, you know. Maybe that's not my specialty genre that I specialize in, but you know, this producer or this DJ that I'm collaborating with knows all about this genre, so you sort of have to trust the people that you're collaborating with as well, you know.
And that is it from us tonight. We will be back again next Monday bringing you the best new Irish music, and Reese Ajaro are in session, so don't miss it. I just want to say big thanks to you guys for tuning in with me at home tonight. And now you do have a little bit of a choice of entertainment now on the BBC. If you want more brand new unsigned music from Ireland, turn on your TV. You get to see My Mug and some fantastic performances from Amy Montgomery, The Florentinas, Dark Tropics and more. Or if you want to chill and wind down for the evening with some chill tunes handpicked by our very own Eve Blair, stay locked in. But until then, this is Gilmore here. Good night.